And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. You're listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, and we're coming to you live this morning. It is February 1st, 2025, and we'll be right back after this song.
Some preachers say man only needs to believe. A lying preacher wants a man who doesn't read. A lying and twisting truth, stealing skin and bones. A mind that's weak against Satan who's strong. Praise John 3:16 and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in the pit. Jesus, please don't call me because I can't go. Some preacher lied to me and stole my soul. Born again one morning, I thought it was time. I walked up to the altar and I said he was mine. Prayed John 3:16 and nothing more. And the preacher man said, well, bless my soul. Prayed John 3:16 and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in the pit. Jesus, please don't call me, cause I can't go. Some preacher lied to me and stole my soul. To be reborn, you need the latter rain. Repentance and water calling out his name. I was raised a new creation by his blood. No, Satan can't take me off of the line. Obey Acts 2:38 and what do you get? Set free from sin and the Holy Spirit. Jesus will cleanse you and make you whole. No more hell to pay, he'll save your soul. If you see him coming, better step aside. A lot of sinners won't, they will certainly die. Our prayers are iron and the word is steel. If the first one don't get you, then the second one will. Obey Acts 2:38 and what do you get? Set free from sin and the Holy Spirit. Jesus will cleanse you and make you whole. No more hell to pay, he'll save your soul. No more hell to pay, he'll save your soul.
And we're back. And again, you're listening to Coffee with Radio Ranch Wranglers this morning. I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
And good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And Tim, why don't you start us off with a word of prayer this morning? Well, before that, we got Zach on the line. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning.
And Tim, why don't you kick us off with a word of prayer this morning?
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, and Lord, we just invoke the name of the Almighty God, Jehovah, that he protect his people, and Lord, that his will would be done in this land, in this new Jerusalem. And Lord, we just ask that as this broadcast goes out this day, that it would fall upon ears that hear and eyes that see, and Lord, that hearts would be opened, and that your will and your way would be desired, Lord, and promoted, and that you would just have your way in this mess that we see, Lord. We need Jesus more today than we ever have. And Lord, we know that you are the Savior of your people. We just pray for the remnant. We pray for our families. We pray for our kinsmen, Lord, that you'd watch over them, protect them, and give them every good thing out of an open hand, Lord. And Lord, we pray that we would see with our own eyes your enemies become your footstool. Lord, we ask that words be put in our mouth that would be from God, and that they would be helpful, and Lord, that they would be uplifting. And Lord, we just thank you for all these things. We ask all these things in the name above heaven that is everything. We ask the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Tim. Amen. Well, Zach, it's been a while since you've joined us. Is there anything on your mind this morning?
Well, we got a new president. I know there's a lot of people that are really excited excited about the things that are going on around the country. I know there's a lot of people that are excited about how the president is handling the cartels in Mexico and Central and South America, how he's starting to handle the border. And I think those are all really good things that are taking place. I don't really watch the news a whole lot. I just kind of hear just little tidbits. And those are small steps in the right direction for our country to go. Excuse me. I'm really encouraged by all that stuff. And people need to think, when all these things take place, like these deportations and stuff, like I'm assuming they're going to take place. I don't know how much have already taken place. I don't know what the plan is. I don't know. But people need to understand that when things like this happen, there is a level of responsibility that each individual needs to take in providing, working, because a lot of these people that are illegal, you know, I mean, they're already criminals because they went across the border illegally. Now, I'm not saying all of them have a malicious intent, but you could have like a pretty decent sized amount of the workforce in the ag area. Like, I know where I'm at around here, a lot of these big dairy farms, they're all Latinos, and I'm assuming most of them are illegal, and like, these guys could like go to town here as far as like deportation in my area. But that being said, I would say us as Anglo-Saxons have really dropped the ball. And I'm talking as a group as a whole, have really dropped the ball in teaching our children and how to work and how to be successful and how to put the ball down the court, whether you're milking cows, picking apples, working at McDonald's, whatever. So, like, if there's, like, a huge flow of people out of this country, people better be willing to get up and get to work. You know, you're not going to be making your millions in the tech industry because there's a lot of physical needs that need to be taken place for a society to flourish. So people need to think about that kind of stuff and, you know, be willing to get in there and get their hands dirty, make their backs hurt a little bit, and get in there and get some and do some hard work. Me personally, I like working hard physically. So it's nothing new to me, and it's nothing new to my kids because I make them work, you know. But people see all these things and they're all fired up about all the stuff that's going to happen. But what are the consequences of that? Well, that's one of them. And that's just something that I was thinking about as I hear all this stuff happening. Like, well, are people actually ready to do the backfill? You know, I mean, these Latinos have trained these big farmer guys that they'll work for nothing, you know, on a low wage. And, you know, there's just a lot of consequences that I think people need to think through and be willing to you know, basically pay the price of being free. And that's kind of what I've been thinking about the last few days as I watch this stuff. I don't know if I'm just, you know, blowing smoke and running my mouth, but, you know, that's kind of what I think and I see. And I, you know, people need to prepare for it if this actually goes down successfully.
No, I agree with you 100%. I've seen, you know, in some areas that they're doing the you know, the people have the same mentality, so to speak. It's like, you know, leave the people that have been here for, you know, 20, 30 years, you know, and are working families, working in mills and dairies. And I mean, we got the same thing going on out here in Colorado too. It's you know, there's certain jobs that you're going to see certain people doing. And you know, but then, like, I'm trying to figure out the way to put it, but also here, like here in Colorado, the sheriff's department, they released a statement saying that they are not going to participate in anything that has to do with the immigration. And I don't know. It's a lot of states are basically saying the same thing. I'm trying to find it. I had something here. Yeah, this was from the desk of our sheriff in Colorado, and I read the statement from the from a couple of Wyoming sheriffs, and they pretty much said the same thing. It said, this one says, over the last week, our agency has gotten many questions about ICE and immigration activities in the region. And as a nationwide discussion around this topic continues, I want to be very clear about what the Larimer County Sheriff's Office role is and isn't. The Larimer County Sheriff's Office enforces Colorado law. We do not enforce federal law or settle civil disputes. Our agency is focused on public safety, not immigration, ethnicity, and national origin are not predictors of criminal behavior, and we do not target people because of their skin color, accent, or perceived nationality. If you're a law-abiding member of the community, we have no interest in your citizenship status. If you're a crime victim, we believe you deserve justice and healing. If you commit violent crimes, sell drugs, threaten people, steal cars, set fires, run a criminal operation, or otherwise endanger lives and property, it doesn't matter where you were born. We'll arrest you. If that happens, you'll be accountable to our local. And it goes on and so forth. But basically, they just said that they're going to avoid the issue. They're not going to help. They're not going to assist. Basically, our, you know, ICE, guys, they've been out here. It's the first time that they've had to do anything in forever. I was talking with one agent, and he said he's been there for over 10 years, and this is the first time that he's ever been sent out to do anything. And he's kind of wandering around out there not knowing what to do because he's not getting any direction on what he's supposed to be doing.
Well, first of all, I kind of think the sheriff's department, I don't actually think that that's a bad answer from those guys.
Right.
No. I mean, and then, but on the other hand, like the other guy, like the ICE guy, he's in charge of immigration. Like, where do you begin? You literally have to form like a plan of operation. Like, how are you going to like hunt? Like, I mean, it is an unbelievable task in order to execute something like this on the level that it's been publicized.
Yeah, and I think they've done a good job to start. You know, they started, like the administration said, with the violent criminals, the, you know, that Paranawagra gang, and, you know, where they've known that those gang members are, the, MS-13 and that. They've known where those are, and they haven't been able, you know, the administration previous hasn't done anything about them. Well, this one has, and so, yeah, they've already sent, I don't know how many thousands they have gathered up and sent out. And I think that was the plan, was to start with the violent criminals, the ones that they know, and go from there. You know, it is a tough thing. Zach, I think you bring up a great point. Yeah, you know, we'd hear that from the left. Who's going to build our houses? Who's going to pick our fruit? That type of thing. And that's something that the American people are going to have to realize that, yeah, that is going to be a little change. Something's got to change there. And so, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But I am glad to see that at least in some of the bigger cities that, you know, they are rounding up some of these truly violent criminals. And you know, if nothing else, it's put the rest of them on notice, right? It's put them on notice that that, hey, it's, you know, there's a new sheriff in town and things are different. And that's a good thing. You know, what I think needs to go hand in hand as well is, and I think that was something that they put out as well, the administration did, is a huge reduction in all the benefits, that you can draw benefits from, you know, just sitting at home playing video games. You know, and get an $800 check a week. And that just is not going to work. That's got to change as well. And I think that was part of this last week of putting out a halt on all federal payments, and that was to let people know what's coming. And I don't think we've seen the last of it yet.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to, is getting rid of all these people that are stacked up in these hotels on the government, where they're getting paid thousands of dollars a month to do absolutely nothing.
Yeah, at any rate,
but you got a whole lot of white people that can get out of that thing too. You know, this interest and usury that people are allowed to learn to live off from. They don't have to work physically. They don't teach your kids to work. We're the problem. We're the problem. You take the Mexicans out of here, that you aren't going to be eating no fruit, let me tell you right now, because you aren't going to be eating. Because but our kids don't. They go to college and they're dumber than rocks, and they haven't been taught to work. And there's nothing wrong with advancing yourself and get a better job, but if you don't work, you don't eat. It says somewhere, I don't remember what it was, but you if you ain't heard that from a pulpit ever.
Yeah, I remember like 25 years ago, I was working for a concrete company, and the guy was pretty good. And I remember when he hired the first Latino guy, and I was on the job with him that day. And I remember we were down by Fenton Harbor in down in Michigan. We were down there, and we had like we were doing like a 300 or 400 yard pour that day. We were doing a big factory section, and I remember I went and I got my come along. And we were bringing trucks in there. We were dumping cement trucks, you know, they're doing 10 yard loads. You know, we got like 30 of them out there. And I went and I stood next to this Mexican guy, and I still know him to this day. Actually, he's not a bad guy. But I sat there and I mucked next to him harder than he did. I made sure I did it harder than he did. And I made sure I breathed through my nose. And I was letting him know that there are still some white guys out there that can run and pile into you guys, and you don't scare me one bit. And we're actually good friends. I remember the last pour I did, he made me pour for 12 hours straight, and he asked me if I was tired, and I told him I'd do it another 12. I was in my 30s at that point. But the point I bring it is, like, people don't think that they can do it, and they can't do it, but, you know, it is. I mean, I was raised by some pretty tough cats, some pretty tough guys like my dad and Paul and another tree guy that we know. And they all pushed us as we were young men. And, you know, Paul's right. The problem is we haven't been teaching our kids how to push hard. And, yes, you can physically do it. You know, they don't think they can because they've never been challenged to do it. So, you know, Paul's right. You take the Mexicans out, like, you're not going to be eating apples. You're not going to be eating peaches. That you know, you have to have a system to replace it. And I don't hear anybody talking about replacing that system. So, you know, people are getting lazy.
Well, when I was a kid, the people that picked apples around here came out of the South. They just came up for the apple harvest, and they were all, you know, Southerners that come in and helped out. The family were picking, but they hired these people too. But see, then it turned to Mexicans and stuff. But, you know, when Rome went down, nobody would work, and our people are in that shoes right now, and basically they will not work. That's the thing of it is, because, you know, you need help. You got a dairy farm, you need help, you know, and they had to turn to Mexicans. They had, because the other people wouldn't come. When I was a kid, we bailed hay. My dad would hire neighborhood kids for 50 cents an hour to bale hay, and their dads were making a buck an hour in town, maybe $1.50, and they were knocking on your door to do it. Then we had to go get them, and then they wouldn't come. So, yeah, America's a downhill sin. It's all spiritual is what it is, because if you don't work, you don't eat. The Bible says that, and years ago, G. James Kennedy had a sermon on how the welfare was destroying this country, and that's 40 years ago, and he was absolutely right.
Well, I know one thing. What I'm going to do forward is I'm going to take responsibility for my actions, which I've done pretty much my whole life. And I know nobody's going to come and save me. And every decision I make, I am going to make things happen. And it doesn't matter what's going on around me. I really don't care. I'm going to make things happen because that's my job. And my wife and my kids and my business partners and my employee, they need me to do that. And that's what I'm going to do. And, you know, that's just the way it is, you know. people got to take responsibility for their actions, and they can't sit there and blame everybody else for what's going on. Like, you see on social media, everybody blames, like, what everybody else is doing, this and that. And, no, like, you got to, for lack of a better term, you got to stack up and get out there and get after it and do it and make things happen. That's what faith is. Like, you might not have it right now.
Well, that's what, and that's what the problem is, Zach, is everybody, I mean, we recognize and we've talked about the problem and we've talked about this invasion and how it's been a weapon of warfare for a long time. And so they're fighting against us. They're fighting against us. And then when okay, we're getting rid of them. Oh, no, we can't do that. We can't do that. We can't get rid of them because, you know, it's going to cause problems here and there. I mean, it's going to be, I mean, yeah, if you if we want a solution, we want the answers, we want. You know, this to be a God-fearing white Christian nation once again, but we're hanging on to something else, and it's like, yeah, it's going to take change. That's what we're talking about. It's like people, you know, it's going to be, it might take some sacrifice, and that's what people don't want. They don't want to work hard. They don't want to work harder than they are working right now. They don't want to work smarter. They don't want to do things different. They're comfortable in the position that they're in, and now they're saying, oh, well, you know, it's not that bad, and it you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. It's all in everybody's head. What's in your head? What are you going to do? What are you willing to physically, like, not just sit there and think? You can think all you want, but until you apply action to anything, like, and I'm talking on a personal level, you know, your situation is either going to stay the same or go in reverse. Until you do different actions and positive actions, then you're not, like, it's going to stay the same. And you remove all these people, it is going to get worse because you didn't think of what you were going to do because you're going to have to do something. And the question is, well, what is it? That's what the question is. Well, what are we going to do? Well, you got to do something. Well, that doesn't sound like much fun. Well,
who said it's going to be fun? Who said it's going to be easy?
Right.
And who said you're going to like it?
Exactly. I mean, like, but you know what? I don't really have a lot of fun. The only thing I do is work and try to figure out how to be a savage every day. And, you know, I mean, that's what I'm a man. That's what I'm supposed to do. You know, I go out there. I sell jobs. I hunt stuff down and, you know, you make it happen. And you can't have the mentality like it's just going to be served to you on a platter because it's not. You know, so people want all this stuff to happen, but, I mean, you better be willing to go out there and get some.
Maybe you should just spend more time talking about your feelings. Why don't you tell us about your feelings, Zach?
They're irrelevant, what I feel.
That's my point.
Yeah. You know, a few years ago, I planted some strawberries, and I had my grandkids out there. We were hoeing, and it was kind of hot and nasty. And they said, well, let's get some Mexican food. I said, I'll tell you what, we'll get Mexicans when we can't handle it. You know, but that was in their mind back then. And they are good workers to this day. But, you know, but they see that. You know, how do we get out of this work? But, yeah, what Zach's trying to say in all them freaking words you just used, you got to be a good example.
Yeah. Copy that.
It's very much like the ice thing we were just talking about. Like, how do we do that? You know, I mean, where do we start? And it's like eating. I like the old saying a lot of times with things like that. When I run into things that I'm like, oh wow, Lord, this is really too big for me. And it's like, well, it's just like eating an elephant. I guess you just start one bite at a time, and you know, just eat it one bite. Just take it one step at a time. I'm willing to go to work. I'm willing to do this. You know, there's many sides to every equation. I mean, wages are, they pay cheap, but they could pay more if they didn't have as much overhead. So if we reduce usury and if taxes are reduced and, you know, let the stranger pay it. You know, I like the tariff idea. I really do. I mean, I've been a proponent of that for at least four decades, you know, but, the point is, when you see somebody, God has a whole bag of tools. And, you know, if you think you're going to sit there and sip juleps and not do anything, why, you're wrong. You know, he's got a job for all of us. We are all to be, active and gainfully employed and useful. And, but
I'm, you know, when you see all those things and you roll them all up together, it'll all happen. It's going to be a little slow. It's going to be a little bumpy, maybe. But, you know, where's your faith? You know, you need to be working that, too. So it's going to happen.
I was talking to a guy the other day, you know, talking about things, you know, how Trump's doing all so good. I said, but, you know, I don't think people really realize where it all starts. You got to go look in that mirror and see what your part of it is. And this is what we've been talking about the whole time. You know, people want the government to do things. It goes back to Samuel. They want a king. They really don't want the responsibility to fight. And, you know, and like God said, they're rebelling against Christian self-government, is what, I mean, which regulate yourself is what God wants. He don't want to have this idolatry, Uncle Sam and all these people over us. He wants us to be a free people that serve him. They know his word and they do what he says and they're responsible for their actions. And that's where we went wrong. It's our, you know, it's our religion in this country that's destroyed it. You know, like Richard said before, the church attendance is dropping, which is good, and the Bible sales are going up, and all that's a really good direction. And I see on the internet too where men are getting more involved in the Christianity than women, because it used to be women, but it is swinging, and that's good, because if this system falls apart, and you know, the Bible says, curse the man that trusteth the man, and I think people put too much faith in Trump, because the American people have allowed this. You go to California, the town, the country burning up and stuff like that. But they allowed a queer governor. Now that falls on back on the people also. But they want to blame the electric company because the lawyers know where the money is because nobody else has got it. So they go to a corporation. But those people allowed that man to be in that place. And, you know, they always said to each his own. Well, that's a bunch of crap. That's wrong. It's just flat wrong. Call it right and call it wrong. Just like that lady I told her, you know, $3 bills were for queers, and she was ticked. She said, I got two in my family. I said, I can't help it. It's still wrong. And she was mad for a day or two, but she wasn't mad very long, but she knew it was wrong.
Paul, I hope that we are able to see that very thing happen across the nation. See, our people, they've been fed a lifetime of lies. Right? Love Jesus as your personal Savior. And I think that sums it up on the Christian side. It's not in the Bible, and it doesn't do anything for you. It's that feelings that Zach was sharing with us earlier, right? Those feelings, and that's all it is. And you're right. It's the religion. It's the falsehoods in Christianity that we have been fed. Our people have been fed that you know, and it's our sin. That's what it is. That does nothing to address the sin. But like you presented to that lady, listen, I'm sorry, but it's wrong. Wrong is wrong according to the Bible. She was mad for a little while, but then she came around. Man, I didn't say I was sorry. Right.
I didn't say I was sorry.
No. You just, here it is. And if your feelings are hurt, okay, well, you know what? Those will change. Hopefully those will change. But it's just the way it is. And when our people will open their eyes to that, and that's what I think Trump and this administration is. They're not the savior, but they're the maybe the change agent, maybe something that lets people see that, you know, guess what? The emperor had no clothes, and these guys are bringing it out and letting it be out there. The truths that are coming out, not just from them, but you know, from just the times that we're in. Jason and I were talking about it. You know, the USS Liberty. Candace Owens interviewed Phil Turney back in December on the USS Liberty. She's all been all but blackballed. You know, Pastor Peters interviewed Phil Turney back in 2005. And, you know, we've been trying to spread that word for that truth of what happened. And guess what? There's more spreading that truth. The truth about vaccinations, you know, the more they question RFK Jr. To be a health and human services guy, the more he brings up the truths about the problems with vaccinations. You know, we put out the Amish don't vaccinate and don't have autism. And that's being brought up in a public forum to the world. And so it's these truths that are coming out it's a shift, it's a change. And no, it's not that Trump and this administration is going to save us, but I think that I hope that it's part of a nudge, part of an alarm clock going off that help awaken the people to, you know, the truths that are out there, and that, you know, you got to do more than believe in the gospel. You have to obey it. And I hope that that's something that that continues to grow and move in the land.
Well, you know, you'd say that about they're drilling at Kennedy. You know, makes me think if they dig a pit, they're going to fall in it. The more they drill them, the more they bring out. You know, it's kind of turning on them, and that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it is. Well, and I think that, like, Derek texted in and said, you know, Christian self-government, and it's, you know, we talk about, you know, they've done this, they've done that. Well, you know, and like Paul was saying, you know, the churches, they've, you know, we a lot of it, we've got it from the churches. We did away with sin, and if we, you know, because we've done away with the law. When there is no law, there is no sin, and it's kind of like insurance too. It's like when you have insurance and you have an auto accident, I mean, it used to be, you know, somebody was at fault. I've seen all these cases recently where, you know, you get two cars that crash into each other. I mean, and it's obviously a crash, a wreck, whatever you want to call it. But, they determined that there's no party at fault. And, you know, talk about a bunch of garbage. I mean, it's somebody's fault. But those insurance companies have taken over responsibility. People used to be a lot better drivers when they didn't have to have insurance, but if they hit somebody or they did something, they were responsible for their actions. And you know, in my household, my children are responsible for their actions, but I've seen a lot of other children that, you know, aren't responsible for their actions, and that's something that we need to be teaching our children. You know, and they need to understand it. The world doesn't understand it. And, you know,
I homeschooled my girls, and when I got to 18 and stuff like that, I said, now you look around, you can go in the world, do whatever you want, but there is you are responsible for your actions. You know, you bring it on yourself. You know, people aren't taught that.
Right.
You know, we've all been young and a little crazy at one time, at least I have. And from that, you learn, hopefully. But nobody's teaching that.
No, and it's real simple. You know, and one of the things that people don't understand is cause and effect. You know, you do this, and something is going to happen. I mean, that's why I've always loved troubleshooting things. It's like you go down, there's a protocol. If this happens, or if this is the problem, you know, let's look at what caused the problem and try to figure it out. Try to figure out what failed.
Absolutely. And that, you know, Isaiah 52:1 says, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into the uncircumcised and the unclean. If you don't want all these things going on, the foreigners and the illegal aliens and all this stuff, but you got to wake up first, you know, and when you wake up, you realize that the problem is what you're doing. You know, I mean, it's really, there's the old saying, you can forgive everybody but yourself, but you've got to look in there and realize, in order to forgive yourself, you first got to realize that you're responsible for what's going on. And it's like, okay, we've made some mistakes here, but I'm awake now. And I think that that's what a lot of these things that we're talking about bring out, you know, I mean, it's like, are you going to dig? Are you going to wake up, or are you just going to sit there and slumber? You know? So, I mean, it's going on all around us.
Yeah. Well, and that's what we do, is we sit back sometimes and we try to, you know, figure things out, and we try to figure out what's going to work and how we can do things different, how we can be more efficiently and things. I mean, me and Tim work on a lot of vehicles, and Tim's a fantastic mechanic, and sometimes I got to call Tim and I'm like, okay, I'm trying to figure this out on a Dodge Cummins diesel engine, you know, and I'm trying to figure out what the problem is. And sometimes, you know, figuring out the problem is just learning how to diagnose it. And sometimes we got to put our heads together and scratch them a little bit and figure it out. But it's, you know, trying to, you know, it's something that you just don't give up and don't move on and just say, okay, it's somebody else's problem. You know, you take it to the mechanic. It's, we've been handed a whole lot of problems, and we got to figure out how to do it, and we got to figure out how to do it, you know, God's way. God's ways are so much greater than our ways, and sometimes they're so simple. You know, I think that, you know, we're talking about this immigration problem, and, you know, okay, we're going to get rid of them. We're not going to have fruit. We're not going to have this. Well, you know, I think it's very possible that the faucet of this welfare system in the United States gets turned off also. If that gets turned off, it's going to force a lot of people to get their asses out of bed and get to work.
You know, yesterday morning, I said to a lady at the coffee shop, I said, I just realized eggs are $7 a dozen. You know what she said? I got chickens. I said, yeah, that's about you, but what about the rest of the people? But that's how damn selfish people are. If it don't affect them, they don't matter.
Well, the other thing is, you know, it kind of occurs to me that God always brings about solutions to our problems. I mean, so there's not somebody there to pick fruit anymore. So you don't have enough workers to pick fruit, or maybe, but God makes a way. Either wages go up, expenses go down. Maybe somebody comes up with some wonderful way to pick fruit that multiplies labor. I mean, I don't know, but God works all those things out for us when we just have faith and when we just trust in Him. Those things happen. I mean, all those things, whatever direction it needs to go, it'll go. I mean, it's going to happen because He makes it happen. But that's only when you're serving God and when you have that faith. And, you know, you better be praying on the end of the hoe handle while you're working on it, too.
That's right. Don't be leaning on that shovel praying for a hole, you know. Like you said, Paul, you know, you know, what would cure that? Love your neighbors yourself, right? And again, that's the problem. We've gotten away from that. The leaders in the land have gotten away from it, and the blind sheep here have followed them. And so it's back to obeying the word, right? Obeying the word, loving your neighbors yourself. If you don't work, you don't eat. It's as simple as that. That's what founded the nation. That's what it's turning back to God. It's those godly biblical principles that when we turn back to, guess what? Because there's enough people in this nation. There's enough white men, males anyway, in this nation to pick the fruit, to build the houses, to pour the concrete, to drive the trucks. There's enough here, like was said, if they'll get up and do it. And so it's that awakening. They have to awaken to that. And you summed it up there, Jason. Yeah, when this welfare system, and I think that's on the way out, you know, whether it's paying for illegals or paying for these 20-something, 30-something, 40-something-year-olds to sit around and not do anything and get paid for it. And when that's done away with, guess what? They're going to want to eat, and when they realize they have to work to eat, they'll find a job. You know, we here in Laramie, not a lot of agriculture as far as growing of crops. You know, in the 6 months out of the year, if you do that, it's going to be in a greenhouse. But there's a couple of big, fairly big greenhouses here that they tend pretty much all winter, and they're hitting it pretty hard right now. And guess what? It's all white people doing it. And it's not that they're noble. It's not that it's better here than anywhere else. It's just that's the only people here really to do it. And so they do it. And so it's certainly not beyond reason, you know, for these younger couple generations to do that. And like you said, Tim, maybe government overreach and overhead and taxes and all that decrease enough to where there's more money available to pay more wages to locals. You know, who knows? But we turn back to God, He'll make a way. He'll make a way. His word makes a way. It does, if we'll turn back to that.
A few years ago, I seen this vegetable grower, and I went there on his farm, and he had a transplanter going, and every one of them was a white person on there. Man, I thought that was really cool.
That is. Well, and I was talking about white people. I got a sound clip that I want to play real quick. You know, it's interesting, and what I've noticed is some of the stuff that you know, maybe people were afraid to say or thought that they couldn't say before is becoming quite popular. But we'll have a sound clip from our new press secretary.
Thank you. Two questions. So we now know that the staffing was not normal at the air traffic tower, and so with the government freezing the hiring of new federal workers and offering buyouts, are you not afraid that more incidents of different kind could happen with less staffing in different agencies?
Well, the president is intent on ensuring that we are increasing staffing at these agencies, and that's why he signed a very strong executive order on his second day in office, immediately terminating DEI hiring practices at the FAA. He also, following the tragic crash, as you all know, in the Oval Office yesterday, signed a memorandum directing an immediate assessment of the FAA to ensure the federal government is maintaining the highest personnel and aviation safety standards. And I would also just say there's a cultural piece to this as well. If you are an American who has spent many years studying aviation and you graduate from school and you're an air traffic controller based on skill and merit, and then you apply for a job and you're forced to fill out a biographical questionnaire asking you the color of your skin and asking you where you're from in details that aren't relevant at all to the job description, I think that deteriorates the morale of people in this industry. And if you talk to people in this industry, they'll tell you that. In fact, many of them filed a lawsuit against the FAA a couple of years ago under Joe Biden's administration because they were denied positions because of this DEI hiring practice that was putting identity politics over merit and skills. That's unacceptable. And I think just to put a fine point on this, because this is the third or fourth question I've answered on this subject, when you are flying on an airplane with your loved ones, which every one of us in this room has, do you pray that your plane lands safely and gets you to your destination, or do you pray that the pilot has a certain skin color? I think we all know the answer to that question, and as President Trump said yesterday, it's common sense. Rob Crilly.
Yeah, I'd just like to follow up on that last question, actually.
Anyway, we'll stop it there. But, you know, I mean, fantastic point. And I sure like this new press secretary a whole lot better than the last mop head that we had in there.
Yeah. You can't tell me that she didn't grow up listening to Pastor Peters. Oh, my gosh. Because, that's what he put that out over and over and over again and warned against exactly the position that we're in today, that, you know, it's merit is what it should be. And that when you get away from that, this is what you have. You have tragic air crashes. You have the near misses that, they haven't reported on, but now they're starting to come out that this isn't the first time that this has happened, and on and on and on, the more you look at it. And it's, like you said, Zach, it's the people not taking responsibility, and that's what's got to happen. And so these things are bringing out. I like how she ended it. This is common sense. And again, I think that's what this administration is doing, is it's like an alarm clock. It's like a little tap on the shoulder. Hey, time to wake up to this nonsense that's been going on. And it's in the physical and the spiritual as well. And it's my hope that, and prayer, that as the people will wake up in the physical, that the remnant will be there to help them wake up to the spiritual as well. That, listen, you better
do
more.
My point that I was trying to make was that, you know, people need to be, training their children to be confident in, in an area of something, and to do just like what they were talking about, have skills, be good at your job. And that's one of the things that, Zach's been talking about quite a bit. Me and Josh talk about it. It's, train them to be good at something. You know, they might all have, a different interest or a different field that they want to be into. Train them to be good at it. And then, like it was said, it's like we have had so many positions that have been given over to this DEI, and I'm so thankful that it's that it's it used to be, you know, we had this saying and we talked about it a lot, you know, go woke and go broke. But, you know, recently it's, you know, go these woke ones are dead and they're killing people and they're causing catastrophes. You know, everything from the, you know, responsible for, you know, a huge part of the fires that we've had out in California, then these crashes and these near misses we've had. You know, it wasn't just this this plane crash that we, the recent one that we had, but it was also there's been just report after report after report of you know, near misses or landing on the wrong runway or you know, telling them to turn right and they're supposed to be turning left. Just, you know, it's just all kinds of problems.
Yep. Well, even car drivers, there's a whole lot of semi crashes lately, if you notice. But they've got people in them trucks that shouldn't even be in them. They can't even walk. I know a guy gets salt, and they can't even get it up in the back of the truck. They're so fat. They're, you know, they got to put them up there with a, and some of them won't even get out of the cab there. And they're just not capable to really be on the road. And this, you know, but you can't get no good drivers anymore, I guess. I don't know, there ain't enough to go around. But it's, it, you know, but you, somebody said just a minute ago, you know, the spirit, the physical and then the spiritual, well, that's exactly backward. You take care of the spirit, the physical will take care of itself.
Well, and the other thing that they've done is through all their manipulation and through all of their things, it's just like speaking about the truck drivers, that's one of those things that they take. They took all of the people that could do it because they didn't want them in there, and they basically threw them out. They're not doing anything because they're, you know, they've been regulated right out of a job. And, you know, we see they've got a bunch of, you know, people from other countries running those things. And you can watch YouTube videos if you want to of them, you know. Just doing things that are just beyond belief. I mean, it's like a guy's going down the road with no tires on the trailer or no axles on the trailer, dragging it down the road, and he's oblivious to it. You know, I mean, these things go on. It's just a microcosm of Yeah, he left him at the last exit. It's a microcosm of the ignorance that we see going on around us, and it's like the problems that are caused. They're all of our own making, because this stuff's gone on, and I don't mean our necessarily, but to some degree, we need to have some, we got to turn back to God. We got to get awake. We got to know what's going on, and God's going to take care of it as soon as we wake up and turn to Him, and I think He already is. I thought it was interesting in this plane crash that the helicopter pilot was not named, one of the few that wasn't named. Supposedly, I heard this morning, I don't know if this is, you know, absolute, but supposedly that helicopter pilot's name was Joe Ellis, and there
was a tranny.
Yeah, it was a tranny. So, you know, they left its name out of it. So I heard one from one of the guys. They said they them is now was were. You know, and I was so, you know, we got to get rid of this. This is rot and foolishness. I mean, it literally rot us from the inside out, makes us unacceptable to God. And we see all these things going on and all of this, this diffusion of use and of prosperity and of, everything else for the sake of men's egos. And, it's like, no, God has His own way of doing things, and we'll, you're either going to do it that way, or you're going down the, you know, you're going down the toilet. So you can get out or get flushed. That's the way it works.
Yeah, well, these camel jockeys that are driving these trucks now, they are causing wrecks. I mean, all over the place. It's rampant all over here in the United States, and it's rampant up in Canada too. Derek sent me several news clips and articles where, you know, I mean, fatality after fatality, and it's like, you know, how does somebody go from riding a camel to driving a semi truck? It used to be, you know, it was, you know, a professional job, and people took it seriously. And these videos that you see, it's like, I mean, they're driving down the road in an 18-wheeler with their feet hanging out the window or up on the dash, not paying attention to anything. I mean, just crazy.
And those people have no reverence for life either. I mean, they don't think nothing about it. They're just different than us. That's all there is to it. The trouble is we became like them.
There was a lot of older men who used to drive truck, you know. I mean, as a young person or a child, I can remember, you know, they were considered, the white knights of the highway. I mean, I can remember that term being used as a kid, right? Because it was like, and I've been there, you know, you broke down, some truck driver stopped and helped you, you know, it was like an angelic intervention. It was like, man, dude, I don't know. This was in the days before cell phones. And, yeah, I'm showing my age. But, you know, it's one of those things when they stop and they genuinely, and they helped out of the goodness of their heart because it was the right thing today. They'll just run over you. You know, these two guys, it's like, you know, you know, we have taken our people out of these positions of helpful contribution and relegated them to the, you know, junk pile of our society, like they're useless. And it's just sad, but it's going to turn around. I mean, it is turning around. We see these things going on.
Well, and Tim, I remember talking with Pastor Peters about this, and he was talking about how he had several people in his family that's what they were. That was their profession, and they were truck drivers. And that was a looked up to profession. And I mean, they dressed nice for it. They had their shirts. They had their uniforms. They were dressed nicely, not like anything like we have today. You go to a truck stop anywhere across any, you know, anywhere in the United States, you know, you're going to have a lot of camel jockeys. You're going to have a lot of fat, overweight people that can't hardly move. One of the things that I was talking with a guy that runs a trucking company recently, and he was telling me that the problem with his drivers is that all of them are getting diabetes, and once they get the diabetes, then they got to quit. They can't pass their DOT physical, and they can't drive anymore. And that's just, I mean, it's an epidemic. I mean, come down on fat people. But you look at this, and it's out of control. I mean, I had a guy come over the other day, and he was talking about he came over to get some vitamins because he was struggling with diabetes. And, you know, it's like he drinks 12 Mountain Dews a day, and not overweight, but 12 Mountain Dews a day, and, you know, is all worried about, you know, he needs to take something. I'm like, hey, you can't take anything. You're going to have diabetes if you're going to continue to poison your body. And talk to him about drinking water. Well, I don't like to drink water. Well, you're going to have to make a change. And that's what we've been talking about, is cause and effect, realizing what the problem is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's some things you get help, or things get better just by what you don't do, not necessarily what you do. You know, there's talking about
yeah,
the do.
good point. We got about 3 minutes left. Closing thoughts, men.
Well, you know, everybody wants to be wealthy and raise their wages and make wages and stuff, but what is true wealth? You got to stop and think about that. You know, the Bible says children are a gift from God. Now, that's wealth.
Yep.
If you can just go home and raise a family and make wages, you know, when you learn to tithe, amazing what you can do with a little bit of money. And that's what wealth is. And it isn't 401ks, ain't all this money, and there's so many people that rely on that, and when that sucker goes to crap, they ain't gonna have nothing. The deceitfulness of riches.
I was talking with a man the other day, and he was talking about, you know, we're talking about making money and trying to do this and trying to do that or whatever it was, and he says the older I get, the more I realize, you know, being wealthy is having your children that are healthy, that they're taken care of, and you got a good name. You know, my children aren't running around doing anything that I'm ashamed of. You know, I'm proud of my children. They're Christians. They're in church. They're not liberals. They're good people of society, and they're good people, and I got a good name. And he says, that's what makes me wealthy. And there's a lot to that.
You got it.
Zach, why don't you close us out?
If you're healthy, you know, you really don't have a whole lot to complain about. I know guy that I know quite well, he was told that he wasn't healthy and had cancer, and he was willing to give up pretty much everything in order to get his health back, so that way he could see his children grow up and see tomorrow. So if you're healthy, be thankful for that. On the other hand, you know, be willing to take action and change yourself, because in reality, the only thing that you can actually manage is your actions. You can't manage your spouse's actions. You can't manage your kids' actions. You can train them, but make sure you're that good example that you are called to be by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, thanks, Zach. Thank you, men, for being here this morning. And, Remnant, we thank you for being here. We're going to close out with a song.
Turn around, go back down, back the way you came. Can't you see that flash of fire 10 times?